Hey Wesley, what's going on, brother?
Oh man, I am absolutely over the moon. We've got a wife of a living legend or a former living legend on the show today, which is awesome.
We do. I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot better than having the one and only the voice, Earl Nightingale. Is that good stuff or what? I think the other day I wrote something. I saw that, so I didn't write it. But the dean of self-improvement, I think, was a term I saw, which is pretty fitting, I think.
Well, it's interesting that we got to sit down with Bengay the third, a couple weeks ago, and I think that one of the things that come out of that meeting that is true of today is that there really isn't any new information out there. It's just basically regurgitated info from the people like Earl and Ben and Napoleon Hill, and if we're being 100% back, it's the Bible, in some way, shape, or form. So these masters, that used to exist, unfortunately, are kind of fading into the background, and all these new people are kind of taking credit for it. And so it's good to have, Diana Nightingale on to kind of reintroduce Earl to the people that haven't, listened to The Strangest Secret, or don't know who he is, or don't know who any of the people I just mentioned are. If they can listen to someone like Diana and say, heck, let me go back and check that out, then I think it's a gigantic win.
Oh, I agree 100% because it's like you said, you listen to all the regurgitation of it with everybody. You and I do it ourselves. We take old stuff and we don't claim it for ourselves, but we talk about it, we quote it. But to go back and listen to people like Ben, to people like Earl, to people like Dr. Hill, Zig Ziglar, some of those kind of names, it takes you back to the roots of that, and it's classic. It's like going back and listening to good classic music, right?
Yeah, no, it really is.
It
And
is.
oddly enough, even the new music gets, pegged all the time for having what they call, copyright infringements, where, a beat or, a riff or, a drum, will, come into what you think is a new song. And they may very well not be trying to copy it, but because they're so good, they have it in there. They've learned it through osmosis. And I think that maybe some of these people, quote Earl, thinking that it is theirs. But the truth of the matter is, it's just because they're standing on the shoulders of giants.
Exactly. Love that. Speaking of giants, it doesn't get any better than having Diana Nightingale on with us today. What do you think? Should we, as
I think
interesting
it's
as you and
much
I
better
are,
to hear her than to listen to you and I
don't you think?
jibber
I agree.
jabber
Let's go do it. Push
on.
some
All right.
buttons there, Mr. Producer,
I'm
Director,
going to push a
Co-host.
button. Here you go.
Will you?
How
All
about
right,
this one?
let's do that one.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and Producer Director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Welcome, 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 my friend. How are you, Diana?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. It's always great. It's always great to chat with you, whether it's on the cell phone or whether we're texting back and forth. It's a true pleasure. So thanks for coming on today again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, of course. I mean, the only person I think that's probably cooler than Earl is you. So there you go.
Well, I'll take a second place anytime.
There you go. There you go. Well, anyways, but thank you for coming on. And so, this is your second appearance in the guest seat on Building Wins, and we're just blessed to have you back. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's always a pleasure to talk anything that has to do with Earl. And that's an honor for us, Wes and I, to be able to chat about a guy that I'm older than Wes by a day or two or 100 or 1,000. But anyway, we don't need to go there. But it's really fun because it always brings back such great memories that I had of growing up not with Earl personally, as in knowing him. I get to know him through you now, which is really cool. But, you know, I grew up in an era when I knew who he was. I heard him every day. You know, the greatest inspirational speaker, talker, you know, of his time, I think, in the voice. And so anyway, with all that said, let's get right into it before we get into the second half of the chat, which is some really fun things you're doing. How, because I love the story, and I know you told it a year or so ago when you were on with us, but I still get a kick out of, number one, who is Diana? So maybe we start there. And how in the world did you end up marrying Earl Nightingale?
I guess it was just planned someplace else, because that was not something that I ever expected that would happen. It was, you know, I went to a meeting I didn't want to attend. He went to the same meeting he didn't want to attend, and there we were. And the rest is history, basically. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd heard of Earl, naturally, you know. I 11 years before I met him, I was in real estate. My broker gave me a copy of Earl's radio shows. It was called This is Earl Nightingale. And I'd had it for, like I say, 11 years. And I was in the process of moving before this meeting that I had to attend. And, you know, the night before, I just was tired and had an armful of books, put them on the table, went to bed, got up the next morning. And when I grabbed my purse on the table, that book was on the top of the stack. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just take it along and, you know, maybe I'll have Mr. Nightingale, autograph it for me. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And who knew?
Wow.
Who knew? Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember the conversations one day walking around my house when we was chatting on a cell phone early on when we met. I think he might have decided early on that you were going to be his wife, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. After the meeting, you know, I've been out of my chair many times during the meeting back in the day, and you can relate to this. You know, I was a token female on this sales team, and I was outselling everybody. So I got out of my seat and I'd get all these, you know, checks, and you sell $1 million, they give you this little plastic trophy that says how great you are, you know. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, after the meeting, everybody wanted to shake his hand and speak to him. And so I just kind of stayed behind, and I didn't want to tie up the traffic. So right. I handed him the book, and I said, Mr. Nightingale, would you mind autographing this book? I've been, you know, carting it around for 11 years. And he just kind of stood there and grinned at me, and those big blue eyes were sparkling. And he says, are you married? And I said, no, just make it out to Diana. and he said, would you like to be? And I said, what's that? The Ben Franklin clothes?
Love
and
it.
He said, no, it's called asking for the sale. And I thought, what a weirdo.
So your first meet. Okay. We got to go back. Your first meeting of the great Earl Nightingale.
Yeah.
Your first impression was, what a weirdo. I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't impressed. Of course, I was raised not to be impressed by what people do as opposed to what people are, you know, as people. And, you know, I had always thought that if I ever met Earl, that we would probably be good friends, because I really could relate to his approach and his thoughts and his ideas, whereas I didn't really relate to most people in the world, mm-hmm. but I did relate to Earl. And it was just one of those, you know, he was there and he was in a pair of old jeans and a old leather jacket, and he had a beard and a mustache, and, you know, that was Earl Nightingale. But then when he said that, I thought, I just didn't expect, you know, some sort of a remark like that from a legend, but I had no way of knowing he was serious.
Yeah. Well, apparently he was, because it worked. So how long after that did he win you over and get you to the altar? Was that how long a courtship was that?
Well, it was a strange courtship, because I lived in Florida and he lived in Carmel, California. So our courtship was basically over the phone, and we talked every night. And then there were some circumstances that I've written about on several occasions that brought me out to California. And so it was about, we were married in May. We met in January. So,
okay. So you didn't do any Zoom calls together during that?
There were no Zoom calls. There were no computers.
You didn't call on the cell phone either, did you?
We didn't have cell phones.
I don't know. That's funny, isn't it?
No.
That's awesome.
No. I mean, it was really impressive because, you know, he would make a phone call and someone would come to the door and they'd bring me flowers, you know, and that was it. I mean, we really got to know each other over the phone. And I never had any intention of saying yes to him, but I realized that he was what I had always been on my way to my entire life.
Sure.
And we were like one brain divided by two people.
Love it. You know, and two thoughts pop in my head listening to you. One is you're back to, ask for the sale, right? And what a close that was, right? Just like right out of the gate. And it reminds me of something we talk about, all of us in the world of sales talk about is we're all in sales, no matter what you do, right? All relationships, I told some guys I was talking to a while back, these people say, well, we're not in sales. Well, maybe you don't have that title. Maybe that's not the job description. But any of y'all have a significant other and they're all raised their hand? I says, well, looking at you, Motley Crue, are very good salespeople because you wouldn't have a significant other if you weren't good at sales, right? You sold yourself on your significant other. And obviously Earl did a pretty good job with you. And I think he won. I think he did good.
We both did well. Yeah. It was really special. Yeah. I mean, he says, you know, in The Strangest Secret that, you know, we all are salespeople. We have to sell ourselves all the time, whether, you know, it's convincing somebody in your family, you know, selling them on the idea of whatever, whether we know it or not, we're always selling.
Sure.
And that's, you know, one of the things that he talked about quite often.
That's awesome. So once you and Earl were together, give us a, if you could, and then I want to get into, you know, what you're doing now, which I think is really cool. And I'm glad that you came on today to chat about it with us. But give us a little insight into the real Earl Nightingale for folks that either like myself, that's older, and I use that word older, that grew up with Earl and listened to him every day and bought every cassette that every had available. But or to the newer people, the younger people that may have not heard him of him or heard of him, but it's like some guy way back in the past. Why should we care about what Earl Nightingale had to say?
Well, for one thing, he spent his entire life researching to find out why people become what they become and wanted to share that with other people. And as a result, he has helped to change the lives of millions upon millions upon millions of people all around the world as a result of the information that he was able to glean and gather. And none of it was new and trendy. It was something that was proven over the ages.
Yep, exactly. And he had such a unique, obviously he had an incredibly unique voice, right? I mean, a voice that, if you heard Earl Nightingale once in your life, and you could go 50 years and hear it again, and you'd know immediately that's Earl Nightingale, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that added to the message because he had such a great way of delivering his message, which was an incredible message. So it was like a combination of a great message with a great vehicle to get it to everybody. And especially in his day, it was pretty much all radio, right? Because there really wasn't much TV with it. It was all radio and speaking and tours and that type of stuff, right?
Well, in the beginning, when he came out of World War II, radio was just really beginning. Hmm. And, you know, that was how he got his start because while he was still in the Marine Corps, they were opening up a small radio station close by to his base and they were looking for help. And he wandered in and sat down in front of a microphone. He said he knew he that was what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. But yeah, for a long time, it was just radio. And in his early days, and I have some of the 1950s radio shows where, you know, he'd come on for an hour and he'd have to just talk. Wow. Just talk about anything. And they're really fascinating. And I think the most interesting thing that I have experienced is going back through all of his work to make it available to, you know, today's generation. Some of the stuff you think was written last week. He has one program and it's called the Myth of the Machine. And you would swear that when this was written back in the 60s, early 60s, he didn't write it, but he reported on it. You would think they were talking about what's happening in today's world with social networking and with computers. And I just find it absolutely fascinating. And I mean, I've been doing his stuff for 35, 36 years now. And I still am really inspired and overwhelmed a lot of times by the messages that are there, because they're forever, you know? Mm-hmm. For me, I think the thing that always impresses me is the fact that we go through life and we meet the challenges as they come. And then we think, well, okay, that's fine. We figured that all out. Well, then the next challenge comes. It's really the same challenge, except it looks different. Mm-hmm. And then we're befuddled. And I find that really and truly, even after all these years and after having lived with him, of course, we didn't talk business when we were married, but you need to be reminded. You just need to be reminded. You need to be grounded. You have to be grounded in the things that really work and are proven to work. And there's just so much today that is so superficial and artificial and doesn't work. Right. I mean, works for a weekend maybe, but Tuesday you think, I spent all that money to go to that great hoo-ha and, you know, what happened? You know, my life is unchanged.
Well, we do tend to put a lot of time, energy, and dollars into the eternal search to be happy but the problem I think you just alluded to is you got happy for that 3-hour period or whatever the case may be, right? But we're not putting any energy into the things that Earl talked about a lot that stay with you 30 years later, 50 years later. Because as I mentioned earlier, I was a big fan of Earl's when I was 18 years old and thinking sales is where I want to be. And the messages from that time, they're still in my head. I may not remember them all if I sat here and had to try to think of them. But if I heard a quote, that's Earl, right? Or if I hear, I was looking the other day and found something by Earl and I go, man, I remember listening to him talk about that. And so it is timeless because as Wes and I were talking on just before you came on, there's only so many great, new, brilliant ideas that just come up. But it's how do you take those ideas? How do you massage those ideas? And how do you, like Earl was so good at, is deliver that great message? Because that was the thing I always found unique with Earl. He had a great message, and people have great messages, right? Then there's other people that are incredible orators, right? And can deliver very well any kind of talk. But Earl was able, in a very unique way, in a timeless way, to take a great message and to deliver it in a way that you just basically sat and just stare at the screen or you just sat there and you stop doing what you're doing and listen to the message. Because without asking you or demanding or commanding, listen to me, as soon as he starts talking, you're going to listen. That's been my experience.
Yeah, well, I think the difference is the fact that, and people are always sort of stunned when I say he never wrote or recorded anything to make money. Hmm. You know, he didn't sit down and say, wow, this you can make a lot of money off of this. Or if you market it right, it's whatever. That he basically and never really pictured who was on the other side of the receiving end of what he said. He basically said, I have researched and this is important. This will work, period. And I think that that made all the difference in the world. I mean, he always said, I'm not a public speaker. He hated public speaking. That was not, I mean, he was there because that's part of what he did, you know, yeah, I mean, right, because right, he right. was in demand and that was a way of reaching people that perhaps he couldn't reach any other way. And it was a different world. I mean, it was basically, when it came to business, it was a male dominated world. And so we were talking, you know, talked to mostly businesses and successful people. And, you know, he didn't sugarcoat anything. I mean, he really didn't. People, you know, think, oh, he must have been such a wonderful, kind one. Yeah, he was. But he would tell you what he thought. And he really didn't care whether you liked it or not, because he felt like, and I have said quite often when I, you know, when I've stood in front of an audience and I would say, I'll probably say some things that will offend you. And you may want to get up and leave. And please do. But once you get outside the door, please write it down. Because that's something that you really need to work on.
Yeah, you know? That's funny. And yeah. True. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, as evidenced in, you know, social networking, people are all trying to gather friends, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's all well and good. You can chalk up those numbers. But when life gets really tough, try giving them a call and asking if they'd like to come over and help you out.
Right, right. Exactly. Because,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's a message, unfortunately, in today's world, it gets lost. And a message is pays to remember. It's the, all those numbers are fun, but there's still going to be that core group of people, right?
That yeah. And I have to tell you on a personal note that I'm always so, you always bring a smile to my face when you drop me those just little hellos every now and then. I mean, it's like, it's just really nice to know that somebody's thinking about you and just wants to come by and say, hey, how are you? You know?
Well,
so I thank you for that.
Well, you're very welcome. I don't do, those things are met. Because I consider you a very good friend now and enjoy you. And so I reach out because I do wonder how you're doing. I want you to know I'm thinking about you. I remember 2 years ago, maybe it was, you sent me a few days before Christmas. I still remember a picture of your Christmas tree in your house. Just popped up on my text one day. You know, I mean, that's just cool, right? Just cool. So we've been running across the bottom of the screen, the Earl Nightingale Academy. Let's just dig into that for a few minutes here. What have you been doing with that? I know the reason why you've been doing it, but tell us why you're doing it, what it is, how do people get it? Let's give us it's time to go into commercial mode now. Let's do a commercial here.
All right, I'll do my sales pitch now.
There you go. It's time.
Well, you know, those of us that teach really need to learn. And one of the things that has bothered me over the last, 5-6 years, I guess, I was getting to the point in my life where I realized I wasn't going to be around forever and was hoping that somebody would catch my vision, which was to have some place somewhere. And of course, now we're talking pre-COVID and before artificial intelligence and all that came along. And I always visualized that someday there would be a place where people could come and there would just be lots of available information. You know, where they could learn and be inspired and be all that they could be. And I would always get upset. I'd go into negotiations with people that were talking about, you know, taking over Earl's stuff. And I'd think, why can't you catch the vision? You know, why don't you see that, you know, I've got acres of diamonds here, all of this great work. And you could do this and you could do that. And they just sort of glaze over, you know. And so back in July, after one of those disappointing conversations, my daughter, Kim, turned to me and she said, well, Mom, why don't we do it? And I thought, well, how do we, how do you do that? I mean, right. because everything has shifted from having the vision initially where it would be a physical place, it would be a brick and mortar place. But then, of course, how can you offer that to everybody in the world? Because not everybody in the world is going to come to this place. And suddenly, you know, you just sit down and you start thinking, well, you know, the internet and today offers everybody an opportunity. And so then the next question was, what's it going to look like? And so you start going through all of Earl's messages. And I said to my daughter, it will reveal itself. It will tell us how this needs to be presented. And I believe that. I think when you're being led, the worst thing you can do is take charge and think that you're in control of something when you've been given a great vision. And I would listen to Earl's programs, and I knew exactly what it was going to be. And so we put together the Earl Nightingale Academy, which can be visited from anybody anywhere in the entire world at any time. And basically, I go back to the fact that I was led by Earl's messages, and his messages were always for individuals. They were never intended for mass learning. It was always about the individual. So going into this, I knew that this was not going to be for everyone. It's going to be for that 5% that Earl always talked about, that 5% that isn't part of the crowd. And, you know, he always said, find out what everybody else is doing. Do the exact opposite. You'll never make another mistake again as long as you live.
That one.
And so this is being presented, and I've had quite a few people that just say, I don't get it. I don't understand. You know, I mean, do you not have coaches? And I said, you have the greatest coach of all. You have the man who wrote it and is presenting it to you. And this is something that you do on your own. This is your own journey into it. He always talked about his journey into meaning. And it's your own journey into finding yourself and recognizing your talents and then and showing you how to pursue them. And so it's for that. It's that group of people that make a difference in the world and make a difference in their own lives. And, you know, I think that coaching and networking, all that, it's really valuable in its place and for its purpose. But I think when it comes to personal development, this is something, you know, the very first message when you go there, the very first message he says is, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. It's none of my business, and it's no one else's business as well. And I think that that's one of the things that this generation should really think about when they find that they're unhappy and discontented in the world. And that's the fact that they may be pursuing other people's dreams or living the life that someone else tells them, this is what you should do, you know. And if you don't, and if you're not part of the crowd, none of us are part of a crowd. I mean, people are never lonelier than when they're in a room full of people. And so I think that, you know, the academy is going to be something that is going to benefit people all over the world. For those that are looking for that personal opportunity to be mentored by Earl, and it's the finest of all of his works, and it's really a great program. Very proud of it. Very, very happy. And then also, you might have me back again in January because I'll have a really great announcement for something that's going to be available to everybody for free. And that's going to be massively awesome.
Well, I just wrote down January, Diana. That's it. We'll do it. You are always welcome on Building Wins Live. So never a doubt. We could do it every day if you want. So,
well, maybe.
Yeah, but you'd get tired of me real quick, probably. But
no, I don't think so.
Good. That's nice. So it's live now. I mean, people can go onto the website, the scrolling at the bottom, EarlNightingaleAcademy.com, I believe is what it is.
Yeah, that'll take you to the website. And from there, you can click on and it'll take you actually to the academy.
Okay. Now, so once in the academy, there's they can make a decision if they want to partake, if you will. They can sign on, subscribe, get involved, and literally pretty much start that same 10 minutes after on the site if they want to, I suppose.
Yeah, it's about a 3-month course, and it's okay. presented to you once a week, along with, you know, the attached exercises and so forth. And I felt that this was really important too, because if, you know, we're all typical in that if you were able to just grab the whole thing at one time, you'd listen to a program or two, and then you go, well, I'll get to that later, you know, and then you're lucky if you ever come back to it. So it also teaches a discipline. It teaches a discipline of this is the day that you sit down and you spend this amount of time on building a better you. And so it's I'm happy with it. And I'm thrilled that that my daughter suggested we do it. And that was the other thing. We laugh because, you know, Kim is a senior. I'm a senior. And I said, I'm glad that as an older person that I didn't slam my mind so shut that I never said, I'm not going to get involved in in today's technology, because it was fun. It was really fun and exhausting. I mean, there were days when we didn't know what we were doing, but and it took months and months and months. And you know, I'd wake up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'd get up to write down an idea, and Kim would come out and say, "What are you doing?" And I had to write this down. Well, we just stay up, you know, or we, you know, quit to have dinner, and all of a sudden I'd have an idea, or she'd have an idea, and it'd be 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. we'd still be doing it.
Well, you know, and that's a great indication of something Wes and I talk about it all the time, which is you love what you do and do what you love. You're not really working, right? It's such a key to, if you really want to be happy, is you got to be involved with doing things that you really enjoy and love. There's going to be tidbits of a day that you don't, but overall, if you're loving what you do, the days go by fast and they're fun. And I think it's a great mom and daughter experience for you. That's had to have been really fun, right?
Yeah, it was. And but the interesting thing was that we were being so inspired by Earl's messages. And there were times when I say, listen to this. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, this is like it was written, you know, last week. And just jumping to what I mentioned earlier about the 1953 radio shows that he had, and one of his ramblings, he talked about the fact that, you know, people were always looking for hidden treasure. And he said, and there's this group of people up in Nova Scotia. He said, I don't know, this place they'll called Oak Island, and they're looking for, you know, treasure. And I'm thinking, I watched this show. You know, and today, you know, we're still looking for it. But I mean, just really and truly, there wasn't anything that I could find in any of his messages that I would say, does that pertain to today's world? Absolutely. Because you know, times change, but people don't. I mean, right. We all still, like you said, you know, people want to be happy. Well, you ask them, what would make you happy? And people say that they don't know. And there's part of the solution right there. Figure out what it is that will make you happy. And now you can work towards that. But we don't learn to define our goals or to be specific in what it is we're looking for. And therefore, we're always confused and unhappy and disappointed and all those other things. And our time is so consumed these days with, you know, social media and hoping that we belong or that people will like us or accept us or whatever. I don't think people take time to even think anymore.
Well, there seems to be a lot of that, not thinking. And you're right. And trying to find false or fake happiness through being liked, or, you know, it's like if you're, as you know, I'm pretty active on social media and I use it a lot for more from a business standpoint. But if my whole life, I would be a pretty unhappy guy if my whole life was based on a particular post I put and nobody liked it. And that happens. I get some, a lot of comments and likes and shares, and I get some where it's just a dud and it's like, huh, like 3 people liked it, right? But if my whole life was based on that, I'd be a pretty unhappy guy, right? And you just throw the message out and move on and keep doing what you do and keep trying to inspire people and motivate people and they'll pick up what they want to pick up on, because I can't assume everything that's going to trigger with you personally, right? All I can do, or you can do, and Earl did, is throw out meaningful ideas and hope that something triggers that you want to dig deeper, right?
Yeah, when I was little, my mom used to say, consider the source. And I think that you have to realize that every person looks at the same thing in a different way, depending on their mindset, their experiences, their background, mostly their experiences and their belief system. Mm-hmm. And that's what they project into what somebody has said. You know, right. I mean, Earl used to say I was the funniest person he'd ever, you know, been around. And I'd say, but I'm being serious. You know, he'd say, that's even funnier.
That is funny.
But I mean, and I think that as a writer, and I've been writing my whole life, people don't, they don't.
She'll be back. You're on mute too, Wes.
I said, I'll edit this out.
Oh, I know you will. Yeah, we'll wait for her. We'll wrap up pretty quickly because I do have a 4:15 thing I got to do anyway. So we'll wait for her. I think we're within 2 minutes of wrapping up anyway. Good stuff, El, huh?
Very good stuff. I love the story about she and Earl meeting. That just
It cracks me up every time I hear it.
Yeah,
I was walking around and around and around at home, and she told me that story, and it was like, that's just not what you've expected, you know? What a weirdo! I mean, guy, you mean get married? What? Great story, good stuff. But yeah, I assume she'll click herself back on here in a minute, but. What time do you need to be out of here? By 4 or 2?
I'm good. Okay. If it goes much longer than that, I'd have to look. But right
yeah,
now,
yeah, no, I'm no, I would like to be done in the next 4 or 5 minutes. So as soon as she comes back. But no, good stuff. So yeah, whatever we can do. What do you think? Drop it next Wednesday, maybe, because we'll have. Or what do you think? And maybe do a couple of. Hey, guess who we got coming, special edition on Wednesday type thing. Does that make sense to you? Or
We can do that. Is that the time that we have for it?
It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I thought we'd do that. We don't have any place to put her in the Friday one until January, and I don't want to do that. So
No, we can do a special edition. We could do – why don't we do a Tuesday or a – Tuesday or Wednesday.
Either one. She says she's backstage again.
She's not.
Okay. Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't think she'll care. So I just thought that maybe – I know I saw it pop up that you're already – putting out something right now, and it might give us a weekend and Monday, Tuesday, or whatever, kind of, hey, look who we talked to, look who's coming, blah blah blah, you know, whatever, just kind of help stroke it a little bit for her.
sure,
because originally I kind of thought we were going to do this live, or at least her and I chatted about it. Oh, there she is. Maybe. We see your name in a blank screen, Diana. I used to look better in a blank screen, but.
I'm going to say, I look great in that screen.
Yeah. See, I should have took after Earl and got into radio, because I definitely have the, we've talked about that. We have the face for radio, right?
He had the voice, though.
Yeah, he did. That's the problem. Probably a little better than ours.
I've been told that I have a good radio voice, but I will tell you, I can't hold a candle to Earl.
Oh, yeah. There you are.
I came in to get closer to my to my router, I figure so something's wrong with the internet.
Okay, Diana, I'm going to go back into the background. I don't remember exactly what you were saying when you cut off, but if you guys could just kind of loop back to that, and then we'll go on from there if that's okay.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's great. I think you're saying being a writer myself, and that's where you're going to go, and we'll probably wrap in we're probably like 3 minutes out if that's okay. So just go ahead. So,
being a writer. You always have to be really careful because you can't take a sense of humor into a writing because nobody knows whether you're being funny or sarcastic or critical. And that's the same way with everything that we put out in the world. People all come, with their own conclusion about what you meant or whether it was good or bad or the other thing. And so while communication is awesome these days, it's also a slippery slope sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, great stuff, Diana. I just, as a lifelong follower, learner from, if that's a correct English, but I'm using it, and fan of Earl, it's always a pleasure I can't get enough conversation about Earl. I love it. And I love you bringing it with us today on Building Wins Live. And I just think this academy is amazing. Thank you for sharing it today. And as we kind of wrap up, any parting words, anything we didn't touch on that you would like to say other than just learn from Earl?
You talked about being happy before, and I think that we need to decide that, sometimes just being with somebody and having something funny happen, that's kind of a happy feeling. But mm-hmm. to think that you're going to go through life feeling happy all of the time, or that everything, you've just got to always be content where you are, knowing that you can make a better future by, making better choices today and tomorrow.
Yeah, good words. Great words, actually. Diana, my friend, thank you so much. As always,
thank you.
It's a pleasure. But one thing, since we did this today, I need a picture of your Christmas tree this year.
Oh, it'll look a lot like last year.
It's going to be the same picture, right? I won't remember, so you can just send one.
Yeah,
I'll send one of mine, which is usually a little thing that tall on the table because we're a little bit minimalistic. Whew, that's easy for me to say when it comes to that stuff. So, Diana, again, thank you so much, my friend. As always, I appreciate you being on. I appreciate your friendship. And just, hey, thank you. Great stuff you're doing with Earl. Appreciate that.
Thank you. I always love our visits.
You got it. Anytime. Cheers, my friend.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Does it get any better than that? It doesn't. It just doesn't. My day is complete. I may just take the day off. No, probably not, but because that's not what Earl would expect for me to do. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. Check out the Earl Nightingale Academy. If you haven't followed Earl, you need to follow him. If you have, then you need to get back re-engaged because I've never lost touch with his works since getting to know Diana really well. I've dug back in more and nothing that I listen to is not amazing and thoughtful. And even though it's from many, many, many years ago, decades ago, still every bit as important today as it was when Earl spoke it. So check out the Academy. Share and like this show. And as always, we talked about this earlier, love what you do and do what you love. Seize the day, live it, love it, own it. And you know what? While you're at it, go make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.